Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment here with Jan Irvin today. Now, Jan, you had one more point to cover before we can just say, all right, we've tied this little puppy with a neat little bow in a nice little package, and we'll just and we'll put it on the shelf, and then people will now have both sides of the story, the fallacious side of the story and the reality side of the story, and it'll all be clear.
Well, I think so. You know, one other point that he made about the whole argument, and for some reason, you know, again, he claimed to have read my book, but I don't understand how he could miss all of these citations that were in the book, like from Robert Graves. And I was just looking for the page here. But and Robert Graves says that when he was in Israel or in Palestine in the 1950s that he saw Amanita muscaria growing there, and this was all cited in the book. So, you know, I don't know why he, you know, it's the material on Robert Graves starts on page 60, and it's all his primary citations right there. You know, I was just seeing if I could find this this specific reference here and read it to the audience here, but you know, it's all in there. Right there, you know, also, from page 60 forward. So, but Robert Graves is talking about how he himself found the Amanita growing in Palestine in the 1950s. But not only that, but we're talking about a religion from 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, there was something in the region, and these things were very often traded, which we discussed in ANS. But that thing in the region at the time was this thing called the Cedars of Lebanon. It was a massive forest that stretched through Lebanon at the time, and it would have made a fantastic host for these types of mushrooms. So, you know, we can't look at a desert that sits there today and say, see, it's not there, it's a desert, you know, when 2,000 years ago during the time that we're discussing, it was, in fact, a lush green forest. So why he omitted those two things that were in the book under, you know, the Robert Graves citations, I don't know, but it just fits with more of the, you know, distortions and lies that he committed against my work.
Mm. Now, I'd like to also take some callers as well. So we've thrown the lines open, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to call in and comment on this, this is your one and only chance. You will probably only be able to take one or two callers. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. 25. What Jan Irvin's work has meant for you, the trivium, and also the attacks upon him, and of course the defense against these attacks that we've aired today, how you feel about all of this. So 218-339-8525. And in the event that nobody calls in, me and Jan are just going to yank about stuff. It's not going to be that difficult, I don't think. Now, I also wanted to say that I want to admit some of my faults here, because I have I've prioritized getting quantity over quality with this show to a certain extent. Doing five shows a week, sometimes between 5 and 10 guests, means that the ability that I have to reference and check these guests out before they come on and precisely what they're going to be talking about, whether or not it's 100% true, wasn't really part of my repertoire. And now, since this incident, I'm going to actually start making it that. Because I realized
now they're going to hold you to it, dude.
Yeah. Well, I just realized something, that now I'm responsible for things that other people say on my show, unless I call out a disclaimer before the show starts that the views and opinions expressed by the guests. And
right. Exactly. And, you know, you can't. You know, there's no way that anybody can be 100%. You know, correct all the time. I mean, but what we have to do is process the fallacies out, check things, and we can get, you know, very close and just allow any new information in should it come in the future. And then we have a systematic way to go back and check it against the research that we've already done by, you know, simply just going who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting is that the process is rather simple, and maybe it, you know, when you're trying to memorize something, you need to have it repetition, just so that it sticks in your mind.
Right.
And I don't think I had enough of that. Like, I hadn't quite memorized the who, what, when, where, why, and how to the point where you can instantly recall right as the conversations are happening and point out all the fallacies as they're coming at you, kind of thing. Like it actually takes a little bit of training. This methodology, the Trivium, actually has a training process behind it, doesn't it, Ian?
Yeah, it does.
I've not been through the process.
Well, yeah, you know, myself and Richard Grove and a group of us over Tragedy and Hope, we did a study group for about a year and a half or 2 years where we went through the grammar and the logic and everything. And, you know, just about once a week we did this study group. And then that was a way to kind of force us to, you know, go through and study all of the references and everything. But, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's, you know, it's very rewarding at the end of it all. But, you know, it's a lot of work from the get-go. And, you know, it's just basically reconditioning your mind to, you know, not think with fallacies or with lies. I mean, you know, the ones that we tell ourselves are the worst ones. And it's, you know, you can spend sometimes 5-10 minutes or even a day maybe researching something and find out the truth of it versus spending a lifetime believing in a lie. And so, you know, what's better, to hold on to this lie for your entire life? What is more time consuming, right? And people will argue all the time that I don't have time to do this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a researcher, et cetera. But, you know, if somebody makes a claim, and, you know, like in my book, there's all of these citations. So if somebody just wanted to check my citations in my Holy Mushroom book, they would go to my book, check the citations, and I've got actually everybody else's claims and primary citations listed in this book right there for people to go through. So then they would just go to these other books, open them up, you know, go on Amazon or whatever, order the books, open them up, and just check and make sure that I didn't quote anything out of context, etc. So that's really the, you know, the whole premise of it. And, you know, pretty much as easy as that.
Yeah, well, it's a simple process, isn't it? And I failed in my duty as you know, I never claim to have credibility because that way I can't lose it, kind of thing. That's sort of my philosophy as well. And you just got to be honest, you know. So if you're wrong and somebody comes up with evidence that you're wrong, you have to admit it as quickly as possible and make amends as quickly as possible.
Right. And this is
the very reason why you're on here today. Yeah, yeah, because I don't like that. I mean, in most cases, whenever I've gotten into arguments with people over something that I've done, I'm actually usually in the wrong, because otherwise the argument wouldn't start. And all the other times, it's just because somebody misinterpreted what I said, and then I just got to explain, sure, this is what I meant, so on and so forth.
You'll find there's basically, you know, two essential groups of people when it comes down to work that you're putting out. Those who have studied it, and then they'll sit down with you and go point by point, you know, and they'll say, you know, I have this other citation right here that shows that this is an error, you know, and then, but, you know, these points are all correct, so we need to fix this one right here or whatever. Whereas somebody who doesn't study your work, they will give you advice about your work without reading it, telling you what you should have said without reading it, calling you names without reading it, going on and on with all manner of just fallacious nonsense. But they can never stick to any point that you ever actually wrote. So, you know, don't, you know, ignorance comes from choosing to ignore things. And if you choose to ignore things, you know, like I said, you know, instead of, studying it, removing the fallacies and contradictions from your own thoughts, verifying everything, then you come to certainty. You know, and if I'm certain about something, if I know what something says on page 21, I know what it says. You know, and it doesn't matter if somebody comes up and tells me, why do you have to be so certain? It could say something else. You know, it's like, well, I know what it says. Did you read it? I am certain what it says because I have read it. In fact, I wrote that page and I know what I was saying. And, you know, people will sit there and argue with you over what something says or means that they've never read. They won't read your argument. And it's, you know, it's just such a dishonest thing. It's like, if you want to have an intelligent conversation about something, study it, go point by point through it, check everything out, keep the work together as a whole, don't use a bunch of fallacies and, you know, lies to attack the person, and then we can sit down if you do find anything and we can discuss it. Or even if you didn't find anything, then now we can still discuss it intelligently and say, yeah, you know, we can discuss all of the points of the research, and then we can learn and grow from it rather than ignoring it. You know, essentially, And on the on my triviumeducation.com website, if people go there, there's a really good article, and I'm just pulling it up right now. It's called "Incompetent and Unaware," and it's really important for people to. And it's by David Dunning and Justin Kruger, "Unskilled and Unaware of It: How Difficulties in Recognizing One's Own Incompetence Lead to Self-Inflated Assessments." So, you know, what we have here is Tom is a perfect example of this. He doesn't go through things carefully. He takes things out of context. He jumps to page 115, ignoring all the research prior to that. You know, doesn't think through poison, drugs, blah, blah, blah. You know, but if we approach every new subject that we're getting into as if we're incompetent and then work from there, building out the grammar of all of the things that we're dealing with, then we gain and build competence, right? So you start off incompetent, and then you ask who, what, where, when, why, and how. It's okay to be incompetent because that is the starting point. If, you know, you sit there and go, I'm never incompetent, I know anything, well, guess what? Then you're always going to be incompetent. And you're always going, you know, or there is no truth. Truth is arbitrary. One plus one isn't two. All this kind of nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
Just approach things with a, you know, an open heart, not necessarily an open mind, but a critical mind, and remove the contradictions and fallacies from your own thoughts.
All right. Jan Irvin, sage wisdom as all. Thank you very much for your time indeed. And I apologize for any distress or time this has soaked up from you.
And I appreciate that as well very much, Vinny, and thanks for manning up about it. You're a real man. I've seen some of this stuff go down before, and they weren't half or a third the man as you, so.
Well, man, I'm going to take that as a quote and cite and put it as a citation on my website there.
Oh, great. Yeah, taken out of context.
Yeah, totally. Gnosticmedia.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.